It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk
about.
Who
are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters. Before we get to the Red Sox and before we get to baseball, we do have some breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, this just came in as I was wrapping up my headline to the top of the hour from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Tweeting that source says the Patriots are releasing veteran wide receiver Mohamed Sanu. A surprise.
That's so, it. Yeah, to me, this is worthwhile. And, Sanu, they gave up a lot for Sanu.
Damn right. Second-round draft pick.
Yeah, they gave up a lot. And I thought this was going to be a reason they kept him on the roster. Certainly, there's a salary there of $6 or $6.5 million. But I thought that was important to get out there right now. Again, Mohamed Sanu released by the Patriots, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. It'll save the Patriots $6 to $6.5 million in base salary, I think it is, for Sanu this year. But remember, they gave up a second-round pick for this guy. Second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. They got how many games out of him? What did he play, like 4 games? Didn't he get hurt?
Yeah, I got hurt.
He missed a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, when he was returning in the Philadelphia game, yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, I'll look up and see how many games he played. But Mohamed Sanu, no longer a member of the Patriots, and certainly one of the few veterans on their receiving corps. But I think it tells you that a lot of the reports we heard out of camp with the Patriots were accurate, that Sanu wasn't doing much.
Hey, he was in good shape, but he still looked like the same guy. That trade was a complete disaster.
Correct. Disaster is a good word. And he played more than 4 games. He played in 8. 6 starts, 26 catches, but a second round pick for that guy. Second round pick. Absolutely horrendous. So just wanted to get that out there, given the fact that the Patriots open a week from Sunday. How about that? But this is a baseball show. We do baseball for the whole hour. We did not have a program last night, and we will not have one tomorrow night because the Celtics, I believe, play at 6:30. We'll have Celtic pregame at 6 o'clock tomorrow. So if you want to talk about the Red Sox, now is the time to do it. Jimmy, let's open up the phone. 617-779-0985 is your phone number here on the Baseball Reporters. And here's where I want to start, because we had a show Monday. We didn't have one last night. And if I'm not mistaken, we had an abbreviated show Monday because of the Bruins.
Yep.
So I want to get back to the trading deadline in Chaim Bloom. And there is, to me, one really fundamental question that has to be asked about the Red Sox and where they are going. And it all comes back to the same thing that has plagued this organization really for the last 10 years, call it. And that is a plan. Do they have a plan? And can they stick to it is probably the bigger question. So Bloom did a conference call on Zoom earlier in the week after the deadline. The deadline was at 4 p.m. We were on the air at the time. So it was hard to sift through a lot of that by the time we went off the air on the Baseball Reporters at 6:30. I've been able to do that here in the last day or so. And Bloom said a number of things that I think are worthwhile to share. This exchange is with Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. Go ahead, Jimmy.
If you can look broadly in the aggregate, you know, you've now made Five trades, starting with the trade with the Dodgers in February. What do you think that? What do both of you think you've accomplished with those five trades?
The big picture goal here was to make sure that we were setting ourselves up to win consistently and to be able to compete for championships every year. And obviously this summer has shown we're certainly not there right now. And it was a question of getting ourselves to a point where we could do that consistently and making sure that every move that we considered, we're measuring up against that goal. So I think with everything we're able to do, we feel like we've taken steps towards that. We still have a ways to go. There's a lot more that we want to do to put this organization on more sustainable footing. We also know we have a lot of talent in-house, which is a great place to start. But in totality, I think we can look at the talent we brought in the organization. We can look at the sustainability of the roster, the depth of the talent base, and feel that we've taken positive steps.
With everything that we've been able to do, we feel like we've taken steps. Now, you heard Alex Spear ask there about, when Alex Spear asked a question at the beginning, he said, beginning with the Mookie Betts deal. I don't begin with the Mookie Betts deal. The Mookie Betts deal was a given. Okay, that was a done deal. That was going to happen. Chaim Bloom didn't have a choice. And let me make this part clear. Nobody in their right mind would trade Mookie Betts if you could keep him. Nobody, including me. Okay, now, again, the salary, we can get in all those issues, but Mookie Betts is such a talent. Of course you keep him if you can keep him. No brainer. Like, it's not even worth discussing. Everybody would keep Mookie Betts. So Bloom had to deal him, and let's not forget that they made a deal and then had to back out of it because ownership or someone didn't like Brusdar Graterol. And then they ended up with Alex Verdugo, Connor Wong, I think, is the catcher, and then Jeter Downs, the infielder. So that I almost leave that deal out of it. I'm focused on the deadline. What Chaim Bloom has done since the beginning of the season. So let me ask you, Murray, let me ask you, Jimmy Stewart. If I were to say to you, name one guy they got in the deals that Bloom made at the deadline, could you name him?
No, sure couldn't.
Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, player to be named later.
Okay, Nick Pivetta, you would say, but the large majority of people have never seen Nick Pivetta pitch. Exactly. So here's what I'm telling you. This deadline for the Red Sox, what a yawner. Complete freaking bore fest. Bore fest. To me, it feels like a whole lot of nothing. Now, look, you want to tell me that they got a couple of players from Mitch Moreland from the Padres who have upside? Fine. In fact, Jimmy, I think there's a cut in there on that Padres deal. Chaim Bloom talking about the return they got for Mitch Moreland. Okay, let's play that.
The guys that we got for Mitch, certainly that value is more down the road, but we think they have considerable upside to help us. So we're excited to get them under our care here at the alternate site and to continue their development.
Down the road. Down the road. They're not going to help you next year. So they took a flyer on a couple of young kids with the Padres. They think they might have gotten something there. The Phillies, they took a flyer there. The other deals, players to be named. Kevin Pillar, player to be named. Josh Osich, player to be named. And if you think you're getting any sizable for return for those guys, you're out of your mind. So I heard Bloom say what he said, and I get it. They have a product to sell. They think they're taking steps. What steps? What piece did they get in these deals that made anyone think that they are closer to contending in the short term? And this gets back to the core issue. Can the Red Sox stick to this long-term plan? Do you want them to stick to this long-term plan? I have my doubts about both. One, I'm not sure I want them to do it, because two, I'm not sure they can stick to it anyway. Now, look, in the long term, it's the right thing to do, but how many years do you want to suck? How many years do you want to suck and have to rebuild the thing? Because if you're going to do a real rebuild of your operation, or of your organization from the inside out, of drafting and player development, that takes years, plural. And not two. You're talking 3 to 5. Now, realistically, I would say the Red Sox can probably pull it off. I would hold them to a standard of 3. Again, the organization now from the inside out, drafting and player development, 3 years. 3 years at a minimum. But I would hold them to that end of it. So are you going to wait 3 years for them to do that? Because I'm not. This is Boston. It's not Tampa Bay. In Tampa Bay, you want to try that. Have a blast. You got how many? 10,000 people in the stands? 15? It's one of the worst baseball markets in the country. Nobody gives a rat's ass. And I know they don't care here like they used to. Or at least you don't. Ever since you won in 04 and again in 07, that has all been watered down. Now this year, pandemic and they suck. Does anyone watch the games? No. So I look at the whole thing and I say, are people here, even in a watered down market, a diluted market, which is what this has become with regard to baseball, are you going to go through another season like this one? Are you going to watch them suck this bad, do nothing on the free agent market and be okay with it next year? More importantly, is ownership. John Henry, Tom Werner, they're going to look at this team stink. They're going to see the Red Sox make no major moves in the offseason, meaning no major free agent signings. And I don't think they can make a major trade without giving up a big prospect. And they don't have big prospects to deal. So how are they going to make a major move? And then they're going to come back next spring and expect TV ratings to be good or people to buy season tickets? Because I don't think that's going to happen. So I question whether or not ownership is going to adhere to that. So ownership might have said to Chaim Bloom, here's what we want you to do and we'll put up with the bad stuff. But are they really going to do it after this train wreck? I wonder. I wonder they can whether they can really pull it off. And again, Bloom touched on a lot of things in this conversation. One was the, in this presser that was held on Zoom earlier in the week, one was the long-term viability, or let me rephrase, the chances that the Red Sox would be better next year. Jimmy, this is Bloom number four. Okay, what are the chances the Red Sox will be better next year? Go ahead, Jimmy.
We've got a long way to go, obviously, between now and next year. But I think, you know, including with some of these trades, we've added more contributors that I think can start to form our next core. We still have work to do to continue building that core and to continue surrounding that core with good complementary pieces. I think this summer has allowed us to sort through a number of players, some of whom have shown that they're capable of contributing on a consistent basis. And so that's something that we also have to look forward to. We still have a ways to go. A lot is going to happen between now and next opening day. We don't know what all that will be. But, you know, I think we're looking forward to continuing to put more pieces in place and to find more contributors that can help us get back to winning.
What contributors have they identified on the pitching staff? What contributors? What's he talking about? What contributors have they identified? They've identified no contributors. Zero. None. I don't think there's anybody in that staff that I've looked at and said, well, there's a guy that can actually have a significant role on the staff or on the team. Who? I don't think they've done that at all. I don't know that they're any closer right now, really, than they were at the start of the season or before the deadline. I really don't. I don't think they're any closer at all. So are they going to come off this kind of year where interest in the team is at an all-time low as I can remember it? I've covered the Red Sox for basically going on 25 years. I started in the mid-90s, really, maybe a little before that, but in terms of full-time, the mid-90s, 25 years. I've never seen interest in the Red Sox this low. Never. So the Red Sox are going to come off of that in the midst of a pandemic and post-pandemic. Let's hope that we have a vaccine, and I think there's a decent chance we will by the start of next year. And they're going to come out and tell you what? Buy our tickets? Watch our games? Based on what? Without making a move? A big move that'll really make you think they're back in business? Ooh. I don't know whether, A, I don't know whether Bloom can do it. B, I don't know whether the fan base and the ownership has the patience to let it happen. To me, I seriously question where this is all going in the long term, let alone the short. And I suspect that you do too. 617-779-0985. We'll take your phone calls. And prior to tonight's game against the Atlanta Braves, Jackie Bradley was asked whether the team has expressed their willingness to keep him, as Chaim Bloom indicated the other day, whether they have expressed that interest to Bradley. Interesting answer. We'll tell you what that was. We'll play it for you when we come back.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jackie, there have been some suggestions by people with the team that they'd like to see you. They would very much like to see you staying on beyond this season. Is that something that they've communicated to you? Is that something that you've expressed interest in to them?
I think that's just something that they've communicated with y'all at this point. Like I said, I'll be a free agent in a couple weeks. And that's the cool thing about free agents, is you get to weigh out your options.
That sounds like a guy who wants to be here. What a comment. What a comment by Jackie Bradley. And you know what? I don't blame them. I'd say the same thing. The interesting part, well, they've communicated that to y'all. They haven't told me that. And I'm a free agent in a couple weeks. So the nice thing about that is you get to weigh all your options. No commitment there whatsoever. Typically, when a guy asks about free agency, you know what he says? Or that question, I should say. That, hey, the Red Sox expressed a willingness to bring you back. Well, hey, look, I'd love playing here. It's been a great place. I mean, it's a good organization. I got friends here. I spent my whole career here. I'd like to stay. Not, boy, the nice thing about free agency is you get to weigh your options. Jackie Bradley's gone. He's gone, if you ask me.
So why didn't they trade him, Tony Maserati?
Well, good question. Now, my guess is maybe they didn't get the kind of offer they wanted. I've read different things. I've heard different things. I don't know. Were there many center fielders that were moved, particularly one that doesn't hit?
Kevin Pillar was moved.
Okay. So again, but he's a specialist, right? He's a guy.
Is Jackie Bradley a specialist?
Well, Pillar can hit left-handed pitching, and they got nothing for Pillar. So maybe they felt it was more important to keep Bradley under all the circumstances and, you know, a lot of speculation after Pillar and who was it? Ryan Brazier didn't necessarily stand by Bradley's decision to not play last week. Maybe Bradley just isn't, you know, enough. I'm done with this place. And the Red Sox weren't going to get a good enough return to make that deal. So I want to get back to more on Bradley, though, because we'll play you what the Red Sox have said about Bradley leading up to the deadline and then after the deadline about how they view him in the longer term. But first, couple of calls. Again, the future of the Red Sox is really the biggest question on the team. Where's this going? And if Chaim Bloom wants to do a slow rebuild, if he wants to turn him into the Tampa Bay Rays of the North, is ownership really going to go for that? Because I'm not sure they have the patience for it. I'm not sure the fan base has an appetite for a 2 or 3 year rebuild. Justin's in Wrentham. Go ahead, Justin.
Hi, Maz. Yeah, I don't honestly, in the next year or two, even sooner than that, I can see John Henry getting to the point where he just might sell the team. And, you know, they've maximized the Fenway Park. They've done everything they can do. So at this point, there's not much more you can do money-wise.
So, Justin, I'll tell you, it's an interesting point, and I wouldn't rule it out either. I don't have any inside info, but I always go back to the comment that Henry made several years ago when he was asked about how long they were going to own the team, and he said that when he and Warner bought, they told one another 20 good years. 20 good years. Apparently, there was some kind of sitcom that Warner was involved in called 20 Good Years. Do you guys know anything about this? You ever hear of the show?
No.
Okay, so I don't know, but I think that they sort of played off of that and said 20 good years. And Henry has since said, well, you know, we've upped it to 25. I don't know. A year like this is enough to make you want to get out, isn't it? But don't you have to rebuild a little first? And doesn't the value of the team diminish if the big league product's going to suck for a couple of years? Like, if that's the case, remember what the Red Sox did the last time they sold. They went out and got Manny Ramirez. They spent big. They built it into a TV product. And then all of a sudden, they're in all these Nesson households, and there was all this cash that came in with Nesson. Then they sold. It doesn't feel like you would sell at a moment like this with a stripped-down roster. Jim's in the truck. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, two quick points. Number one, I'm definitely on the Verdugo hype train right now. And this offseason, is there any big-name free agents that could potentially make an impact over the 2021-2022 season?
You talking about pitchers or players, Jim? Okay, we lost him. The pitching market blows.
I don't know. I like Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, but he's not a guy that'll change it. And, you know, when I say that, Murray, he'll help. I like Stroman, too. Competitive guy, middle-of-the-rotation kind of starter. But he's not an ace that'll change the direction of your franchise. And when I say that, let me remind you that in 1997, the last time the Red Sox didn't really have an ace, what did they do that offseason?
They went and got Pedro.
They got Pedro. And Pedro changed it by himself overnight. The Red Sox went from a losing team. I think they went 78-84 that year. So they were close to 500. They were very average, a little below. And they went out and got Pedro, and everything changed. The next year, they were in the playoffs. So it completely changed. But you know what the Red Sox had then that they don't have now? Prospects. They had Carl Pavano. They had Tony Armas Jr. They had Brian Rose to a degree at the time. Now, you can say, well, those guys never turned in anything. But at the time, as trade chips, they had value. Those guys had value as trade chips. And so I just don't think they, and again, the free agent market sucks.
It's Trevor Bauer.
But so again, Jimmy, and I tell you, Bauer's okay. He's a nut. He's a pain in the ass. But is he the kind of guy that changes the direction of your team?
He'd be interesting. More people would talk about him.
So now offensively, there's a couple of guys out there that I think could fit. One of whom I think you've been getting a pretty good look at recently. We'll get to him in a little bit too. Mike's on the Cape. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, a couple of things. You said that the Red Sox weren't going to get anything back for Bradley. That's why they didn't trade him. But at the same time, if he walks the end of the year, they lose everything. Let's not have another Time Lord take here, Tony, right?
Okay, so look, Mike, let's keep it to baseball on this show. I'm happy to take my lumps on the Time Lord. But you don't have to tell me that you don't get anything for letting him go via free agency. But this is one of those things. Is it worth the PR hit if there even is a PR hit? Murray was among those who believed that because of the boycotts last week that the Red Sox couldn't trade Jackie Bradley. I'm telling you this, they certainly couldn't give him away, especially when a couple of players on their team...
No, that's what I said, that they would talk themselves into or that there would be stories about it. I didn't want them to do that, but I think that's one of the reasons they hung on to him.
I mean, it could be. I wouldn't rule that out. I'm still wondering why Ryan Brazier is here. Why is Brazier still here? What was the point of keeping that guy? Can someone explain that one to me? Justin's in Brighton. Go ahead, Justin.
Cost control.
So I'm just wondering about their rotation options for next year. I think you look at their rotation, you have Rodriguez coming back, you have Evaldi and possibly Martin Perez, and then who's next? I mean, I really don't like the opener tactic that we've seen Bloom use here and in Tampa. I just don't think it's a sustainable solution.
Justin, I hate the opener thing. I hate it with a passion. Because you know who uses openers? Teams with low payrolls who can't pay for good starting pitching. Okay, that's really what it comes down to. You're telling me if you had five good starters, you wouldn't use them? Of course you would. So at the end of the day, the Red Sox have a $225 million payroll, whatever it's going to be next year, and they can't have five starting pitchers? Do the Yankees use openers regularly? Do the Cubs? How about the Dodgers? And the answer is no, no, and no. And you know why? Because they're big market teams who've been managed well, spend their money on starting pitching, and also develop players. So they don't have to resort to some trick tactic of openers to be able to win games, which is really what that is. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't use it if it doesn't work. I hate it. I think it sucks. But if it works, of course teams are going to use it. But the teams that use it, take a good look. Take a good look. Typically teams with payroll restrictions. So I don't love the whole opener concept. But the problem is the Red Sox don't have prospects to deal, and the pitching market sucks. So how are you going to fix that? Now, positional players may be a different thing. And I was for trading J.D. Martinez, who's still a linchpin to this whole offseason because he could still opt out of his contract. And if you were watching or heard about any part of last night's game, there's a guy there that should pique your interest. I'll tell you who that is when we come back. Here's Murray with the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That one torched. High fly ball, deep to left, and kiss that one goodbye. Ozuna does not wait around. That's his ninth home run. And jumps on this one. There's another one. Crushed to left field. It is gone. He's done it again.
He's dancing around the bases again.
That'll make it 5-2. Jumps on that one, dead center. Watch this one fly. Oh, my goodness. Did he hit the daylights out of it? A three-run homer, a three-home-run game for Ozuna. You don't see many land up there at Fenway Park.
No.
Murray, let me ask you quickly. What do you know about Marcelo Ozuna? Anything?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
Not much, and with good reason. Again, National League guy for the entirety of his career. Began with the Marlins. Was with the Cardinals for a couple of years. Now he's with the Braves. Three home runs last night at Fenway Park. And the real reason why we play you that, Marcelo Ozuna is a free agent this fall. Free agent. He is one of the, dare I say, few interesting names that are available on this market. Now, this year for the Braves, and I'm just trying to check this out, I think he spent most of his time as a DH. He's also played, looks like 30 games in the outfield, left and right. No, I'm sorry, 15 games in the outfield, left and right. Okay, left and right. So, big lumbering guy, but can hit, at least sometimes. So, for example, in 2017, as a 26-year-old with the Marlins, Ozuna batted .312 with an OPS of .924, 37 homers and 125 RBI. He actually won a gold glove, believe it or not. He was 15th in the MVP voting. He was an all-star. The next year, he hit .280 with 23 homers. And then in 2019, he hit .241 with 29 homers. This year, surprisingly enough, in a contract year, he's back up to .295. His OPS is a career high .987. He has 11 home runs. This guy is a monster with big time power.
Tony, can I make note of the fact that the year Ozuna had when he was with the Marlins, that he hit .312 with 37 home runs? Giancarlo Stanton won the MVP that year with 59 home runs for Miami.
Okay, so again, they had two of the, this guy's power is legit though, Jimmy. Right? He's got legit power.
Just saying, he saw a few better pitches to hit because Stanton was in the lineup with him.
So here's what I would ask. If you're the Red Sox and you're looking to get pitching and you can deal J.D. Martinez to a team that needs a DH, and you say, you know what, we'll eat half the money, would you sign Ozuna to replace him? Could you do it that way? Could you get something for an asset in J.D. Martinez? And this is why I thought they should move J.D. Martinez at the deadline. Could you get something for a guy like that if he'd half the salary? Then go out and pay Ozuna and be none, I don't want to say none the worse for wear, but in roughly the same spot, you'd be a little worse, but maybe at least offensively, but maybe you go out and get yourself a pitcher with JD Martinez, someone who's decent, and you'd be okay. Now, that said, see, this is the kind of stuff they're going to have to do, I think, to get better in the short term. The question is, does Bloom want to do that? And if not, is ownership going to make him? Now, I would tell you, Ozuna scares me. The power, huge. It's real. But I worry about guys who play only in contract years and have a good year every 3 years. Those guys I worry about. Dave's in Florida. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, I was going to say, one of the reasons I feel like they didn't move on from Jackie Bradley is, he's not a high-profile guy. He is to the Red Sox, grown, been here forever. And also, Chaim hasn't won a trade. So you put those two things together, it made it that much harder for them to just move on. You know, they couldn't just very well take a bag of balls. Not again. You know, he has to start winning a trade here or there.
Okay, so look, it's an interesting point. I don't want to judge all of Bloom's deals yet because, frankly, he's not in a position of strength. I think it's too early. If I'm being totally fair and honest, it's way too early to judge the guy. Way too early. They hired him late last offseason. He inherited a team that had to cut payroll and had to trade Mookie Betts, which he knew going in. Then his manager ended up getting fired because he was part of a big cheating scandal, and he had to go out and get another manager. When he did deal Betts, they had to back out of the deal because someone in the organization didn't like the pitcher. They got bad medicals. Believe what you want. I think ownership stepped in and says, we're not rolling the dice on this. We're not going to do that. For Mookie Betts, we have to get something of relative certainty. So between Verdugo and Jeter Downs, and I don't know about the backup catcher, Connor Wong, but they probably got enough there to at least get a couple of big league players. Are they all-stars? Probably not. Are they functional big league players, you know, guys who can play in the big leagues on a regular basis, meaning Downs and a Verdugo? And I would say probably. They probably got a couple of everyday players out of it. That's not bad. Okay, that's not bad when you trade a guy with 1 year left on his contract who doesn't want to sign here. I just don't think you're going to hit a grand slam with that kind of trade. Now, the other ones, what's he dealt? Like, we're going to say he hasn't won a trade. Has he lost one? Brandon Workman and Heath Embry to Philadelphia for Nick Pivetta and Connor Seabold. Now, Philly gets the short-term return, but do we really know if he won the deal or lost? We're not going to know that for some time. And then I would tell you the other ones, Kevin Pillar, would you give up for a player to be named? Mitch Moreland for a couple of prospects. Again, Mitch Moreland going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Kevin Pillar going to be a free agent at the end of the year. When these guys committed to coming to the Red Sox, Pillar, Moreland, they actually thought the Red Sox might be half decent. There was still a chance that they would be competitive. Pillar signed in spring training, pre-COVID, before all this came apart. So, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that these guys would have come back. If you're a guy like Pillar or you're a guy like Moreland, where would you rather be right now? If you're Mitch Moreland, would you rather be in Boston with the Red Sox or would you rather be in San Diego with the Padres? San Diego, thank you very much. No brainer. So, you know, I don't know what they got from Moreland. We'll see. But to say they lost the deal, I don't think we know yet. I'm just trying to be fair. We don't know yet. Bloom's got a big job ahead of him, though. And what I'm worried about is, can the Red Sox stick to the plan? There are so many problems with the Red Sox right now, but the real core of the whole thing comes down to this. A, if they're going to rebuild, and they clearly are, and they need to, can Chaim Bloom actually get it done? We have no idea. There's no evidence that Chaim Bloom can get it done. Secondly, if he can get it done, how long is it going to take? And, which leads us to number three, is ownership going to allow him to do it, or are they going to get impatient when the ratings plummet, and they already have, and people aren't buying tickets whenever they become available? There are just so many potential pitfalls for this team. It really makes you wonder whether or not they're going to be able to execute it.
It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.